How many of you have already started school? All right. How many are going to start tomorrow? How many are going to start Wednesday? How many are going to start later than that? How about Tuesday? All right. We want to pray for everyone. We've got, we're all across the educational spectrum. If you're a teacher in a public or private school, or you work in a public or private school, would you stand up, please, right now? Just wait. All right? Look around. Okay? Now, if you are a homeschool teacher, instructor in some way, at some level with that, you may teach one of the courses, or you may have children in your home that you're responsible for teaching. Will you stand up, please? All right. Let's see. What are you laughing about, Daniel? All right. And if you're a student in any one of these schools anywhere, public, private, homeschool, whatever, would you stand up, please? He got left back. Yeah. All right. Now, y'all stay standing. And right now, we want to pray for you, okay? So those people that are standing, these are teachers, students, instructors, whatever you want to call them, let's lay hands on them right now. Just people that are around them, make sure. We need some people to come over here and lay hands on this group back here. Come on, hey, Mickey, you're needed over here. Right over here. Lamar, y'all come over here and lay hands on this group. All right? Because I'm feeling like there needs to be a lot of prayer right here. Can I get a witness on that? Anybody? Okay. All right. All right, you ready to pray? First of all, do you believe God answers prayer? Do you believe God's going to speak to us right now? Yes, sir. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence and for your power. And for all of these that we have our hands on right now, we're claiming the power and the presence of God. Lord, we know it is your desire that we become all that you have created us to be. And Lord, part of that is this thing called education. As we learn, I'm praying, Lord, for sharp minds. Lord, I'm praying for a work ethic that will be out the wazoo this year in school. Lord, I'm praying for an openness to hear from the Lord. And at the same time, Lord, I'm praying for your protection, that you would go forth and guard our minds and our hearts as we study. Lord, as the scripture says, to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Lord, for all of these that are putting in the hours to do the teaching, the instructing, the preparation, Lord, the hours and hours that go on with that, Lord, I'm asking you for a special blessing for these people right now. That they would feel that and know that. And even when the people around them don't thank them, Lord, that they're going to hear from you, well done, good and faithful servant, and let it be as unto the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your power. Thank you for what you're going to do now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All righty. Y'all couldn't hear that little voice. Makes me want to praise the Lord and cry at the same time. Little Will said, thank you, Brother Dusty, for that prayer as he went by. Oh, man, that'll do your heart good. Oh, boy. John, we're going to get a good recording of this today. All right.
If you didn't get a chance this morning, weren't here and didn't have opportunity to hear Brother Rick's teaching this morning, I'd encourage you to look this evening. It'll be on the website. And that'd be a good teaching. Someone trying to understand our church, someone that you've been trying to explain our church to, it'd be a good thing for them to listen to. And for those of you who didn't get to hear it, it was great. When we get through today, I guarantee you probably about halfway through today, you're going to be wishing that you had some people in your family, some people from your past, some people that you work with that could be hearing what you're hearing. Not because it's that there's a great speaker, not because it's original, not because it's just so entertaining, but because it is so truthful and so where we live today. The scripture says in Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Today's message is not going to be a complicated one. It's going to be about a subject that is very much a part of our lives, but one that we probably give more lip service to than shoe leather and action. The title of today's message is forgiveness. It may be difficult. I encourage you today, we're going to pray a prayer in just a moment. But and in this prayer, we're going to ask for the revelation of the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 9, verse 5, as he posed the question to the scribes and Pharisees, he said, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? Hear the story of a paralytic who was healed. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. And getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and he came to his own city. And they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, take courage, son. Your sins are forgiven. What immediately goes through the religious people that are surrounding him? How in the world can you say that? You're claiming equality with God. Some of the scribes said to themselves, this fellow blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Which is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? And so, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, get up, pick up your bed, and go home. And he got up, and he went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified God who had given such authority to men. By the way, a little side note here. When we pray prayers of healing, often we make the physical healing the main thing. And it's a great thing. But I want to remind you, and I think this is often the case, physical healing is held back from us many times because we're not willing to receive what God wants to do on the inside, which was a bigger deal. The religious people of his day were scoffing at Jesus. They called him a blasphemer. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They got right to the point, and then Jesus got right to the point as he showed them that he was God by healing this man, by putting him right physically. He posed a very good question that day. Which is easier, to forgive sins or to heal? And Jesus did both. What do you need today as you come here? Some of us have showed up here today with a belief in the possibility of physical healing, but the inner healing that God would like to do through forgiveness, we've cashed in as an impossibility long years ago with relationships that still remain outstanding with a balance in the non-forgiveness category. The man who Jesus forgave and healed had sinned against God. Therefore, who had he had sinned against that was standing right in front of him? Jesus. He did not deserve to be cleansed, to be forgiven or healed outside of the Lord. Yet Jesus showed his great love and his mercy, and he forgave him. He gave us an example to follow. I believe today that the lack of forgiveness holds a great chokehold on many believers. I know it has in my life. We have an opportunity today to do something about that. So, I'd like for you to pray this prayer out loud with me. John, if you'll switch to that. And only if you want to. Go ahead and read over it. I'm not going to ask you. Well, I'll read it to you and then you can. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the many ways that you have forgiven me. I confess that I have not always extended the same forgiveness to those who have hurt me. Instead, I've held on to my anger, bitterness, resentment. Remember us reading something about that earlier? He said in Ephesians, he wanted to get rid of all bitterness, rage, and resentment toward them. Please bring to my mind all the people I need to forgive in order that I may do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may not want to do this. I won't say to you, because it will probably be a little bit painful. But I hope you'll listen to me, and I hope today that through God's power that I can show you the release that can come in your life if you'll cooperate with the Lord today. Let's pray this prayer together. And out loud, okay? Because not only do we want the Lord to hear it, we want all the demons of hell to hear it also as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the many ways that you have forgiven me. I confess that I've not always extended the same forgiveness to those who have hurt me. Instead, I've held on to my anger, bitterness, and resentment toward them. Please bring to my mind all the people I need to forgive in order that I may do so this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Shoot, I wrote the sermon. It's already working on me. Lord just revealed somebody to me. Now, let's look at several scriptures together as we work through this. We go back to that Ephesians 4:31 passage again. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Did you know that Satan uses bitterness to keep us in bondage? Did you know that? Have you experienced that in your life? Now be honest now. It'd be easy today to blow this off and say, oh, that's a good sermon for somebody else. But I'm speaking where all of us live. Whether we want to say it out loud to everybody, and great, we've all experienced this. We've all experienced the bitterness that would keep us in bondage. Mark 11:25 says this. But when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. You see, bitterness can become a blockade to our prayer time. Because in prayer and in worship, we're supposed to be able to open all the doors, open everything before the Lord, and stand before Him with nothing to hide. Which, by the way, that nothing to hide business is we're just pretending to hide it, because how much of it does God know about? Yeah. All of it. He already sees all of it. So the only question is, am I willing to come in agreement with what the Holy Spirit reveals to me as my needs in my life? Now, let me say to you, before we go any farther, this is no one else's business but you and God until the Lord tells you to do something with it. No one else's business. They're not Holy Spirit to you. No. Now, God may speak through someone, but I'm talking about you doing business with God today. This isn't about a show. This isn't about, well, we can have so many do this, come down and do this. I remember years ago we did this thing where we, in fact, we might have been talking about forgiveness that day, and we had a shred. Thank you very much. A shredder set up on the, you probably remember that, Teresa, up on the stage. We had a backup shredder that I insisted on us having. You know why? Because I didn't want someone that finally comes in agreement with some things, some people they won't forget, and they're going to shred it that day, and they start to put theirs in there, and it bogs down. And what does that tell them? You see, God has a plan for you. He wants your life to be the best than it could be. And it can't be the best if there is bitterness. This is a tool. This is a tool that Satan uses in families. Bitterness that goes back to stuff that happened years ago. And by the way, there's some people, as we prayed that prayer a moment ago, there's some people that God probably revealed to you, the Holy Spirit revealed to you some thoughts that came. Because remember, we asked God to speak it to you. So what then do we expect Him to do? To speak it right then, immediately. There may have come someone you say, but they're dead. How can I forgive them? Well, see, this is between you and God. That's that primary relationship. Secondly, forgiveness is a key for you to have a breakthrough in your life. Psalm 130, verse 4 said, but you offer forgiveness that we might learn to fear you. You see, forgiveness is a gateway to growth in your Christian life. I know of no Christian who is growing in their life that is holding on to unforgiveness. It's holding on to bitterness. It's holding on to that. To holding on to some bitterness that you have against an individual. Bitterness you may have against a family.
bitterness you may have and unforgiveness you may have for a whole group of people. Boy, and Satan goes to town with that in our society, doesn't it? We've got the hate mongers out there. They're trying to create divisions between people. But what does the Lord want to do? He wants to bring us together. He is getting us ready to reign with Him forever. And who's going to be in heaven? Everybody that's trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And what family are they going to come from? What language will they speak? What color will the skin be? What country will they be from? Do you see? We need to go in there and get a head start on this thing, man. Because we're going to be spending forever with one another. The doorway today for breakthrough is forgiveness. Acts 13:38 says, "Brothers, listen. In this man Jesus, there is forgiveness of your sin." There's the message. There's forgiveness. Many, many, many times, you can ask any counselor that's worth their salt, that's ever had any success. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily someone who has worldly credential, though those are great, all sorts of things. I'm talking about a counselor who has had, like a marriage counselor. A successful marriage counselor is one that keeps families together, not facilitates their separation. Successful counselors, they'll tell you so much of the root of so many of the problems begins with this bitterness, this unforgiveness that we've harbored for so many years. A family member, someone that hurt you, a strife in a family, division that came. Hebrews 9:22 says this, "In fact, we can say that according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified by the sprinkling with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin." That's right. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. So what is the foundation of our forgiveness? Where do we get the power? Rick talked about it early this morning. Where do we get the authority to forgive? You know, words are cheap. But does it really happen in your heart? Have you really forgiven someone? Where do you get that power? You say, "Well, I can't do it. I can't do it myself." That's right. You can't do it in and of yourself. You need a power that goes beyond. You need the wind from elsewhere. You need a power that can come only from the Lord Himself. Because there are some awful things that happened in our lives. And listen, this forgiveness isn't based on someone coming and asking for your forgiveness. If you're waiting on that, you're probably waiting on many of the people that have wronged you, that wronged you in the past. That's never going to happen. But why do you stay in bondage to unforgiveness? Who's that hurting? You know, what was a little, my mother used to say this all the time. She said, "What are you going to do? Cut off your nose to spite your face?" Forgiveness is foundational. It's foundational in our relationship with Christ. It is where we start in the gospel. That's what Jesus did for us. When He died on the cross, He took our place for our sin on the cross. Now, how much of the sin that He carried on the cross was He guilty of? And how many of the people around Him and in the world were asking for His forgiveness that day?
We're talking about a small group of people here that even began to realize. So that's what you call unconditional love. It's not his power to forgive, his covenant with us to forgive us isn't based on our works, nor can our forgiveness of other people be based on their works. Do you understand? Does that make sense? If you're waiting on them to fly right and come, oh, please forgive me for that great thing that I did, and some of them, they might even not know that they did anything. Now let's take a look at our own lives. When we forgive others, there's a breakthrough that's created. We are no longer saddled with their offense against us. Instead, we're free to move with our lives. Last week, I was talking to some of my family members, and I'll try to keep this as generic as possible because it's very hurtful. Family member of mine, long, long time ago, was very much abused by a person that was over them in authority. Very much abused. To the point where some of the manifestations of it were just horrendous in their life, that then followed them on through their life. To the point that they became institutionalized. To a point that institutionalization was for all of their adult life. I mean, some horrendous things. I'm not going to get into detail, but I just cried. As I thought about this person, because the only person that I met and knew, this person was already an adult, well advanced in years when I met them. All I could see was the result of evil done in a person's life. Great evil. Now you can hang on to unforgiveness, but let me tell you, it'll kill you. It'll drag you in. You got to cut it off. One of the things, one of the jobs I had, we worked with some machinery, and they tell us we couldn't wear anything with sleeves on it, because they said if it got caught, it would drag you into the machine. It'd drag you in, and man, when it starts dragging you in, what do you have to do? Your clothing gets caught on that machinery, those gears, and it's about to drag in. What do? You cut it off. That's what I'm talking about with forgiveness. That's what forgiveness does. Keeps you from being chewed up. Number three, forgiveness is not forgetting. Hebrews 10:17 says, and he adds, I will never again remember their sins and their lawless deeds. Now, we've misinterpreted that passage. We'll go on and read. I'll come back to that in just a second. In Psalm 103, verse 12, he says, he has taken our sins away from us as far as the east is from the west. It's what Jesus said. He separated our sins from us. By the way, some of you have heard this teaching before. Note, he didn't say as far as the north is from the south. Did he? Now, get with this with me. He didn't say the north and the south, because what happens if you keep going north? Eventually, what are you going to do? But what happens if you keep going east? You keep going east, you keep going east, you keep going east. Even a little detail like that with the scripture is preserved. Now, that Hebrews passage, that he remembers our sin no more. What does that mean?
He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's got a bigger computer than NSA does.
By the way, did you put your cell phone in tinfoil when you came in today so they can't read it and know what's going on? That was a joke and you missed it. Man, y'all are just too serious for me this morning. That what that passage means is he chose to not hold our sins against. He chose to forget our sin. And he's choosing that. What does that mean? That means when we come to Jesus and we place our faith and our trust in him, he makes us pure. Absolutely pure. He puts Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's why we call it the miracle of the new birth. It is a changed life. Man, I've looked at people that I knew in a former life and see what has happened. A guy I used to play basketball with. I'm not going to give too many details because some of y'all would guess this in this town. But a guy that years ago, and I knew what his life was. I saw him a few years ago, radically changed. He's a different person. In fact, when he came in the room, I said, man, I know that guy. But he's not the guy I knew. He's different. You see, Jesus changes us totally, radically. He'll change your life. You see, you say, well, how in the world can I give that to God? That offense they had against me is opening up your hands and letting God have it. Got a few more things to say about it. Number four, forgiveness is a choice. Luke 24:47 says, with my authority, take this message of repentance to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who will turn to me. What is that? What is he talking about? What's the term we're talking about? We're talking about repentance. That's what that word repentance means. It means we're turning from our sin to the one who is going to forgive us our sin, Jesus. We're no longer holding on to that sin. We're turning to the one who will take away our sin. Psalm 65, verse 3 says this, though our hearts are filled with sins, you forgive them all. God chose to forgive us. It was his choice to forgive us. That's why he sent his son Jesus to the earth. We too must choose to forgive. We must not say, I want to forgive. No, no, no. It's not I want to forgive. It is a conscious choice. I forgive. Jesus didn't say, I want to forgive you. The man we read about in Matthew 9, he didn't say, I want to forgive you. He said, your sins are forgiven. He made a declaration. You see, it's about faith. Forgiveness is about faith. That brings us to number five. Forgiveness is living with the consequences of another's sin. Romans 12:19 says this, dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for it is written, I will take vengeance, I'll repay those who deserve it, says the Lord. Hebrews 10:10 says this, and what God wants is for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. And then in Ezekiel 16:63, you'll remember your sins and cover your mouth in silence and shame when I forgive you of all that you have done, says the Sovereign Lord. You see, when we chose to forgive, we chose to forego our right to vengeance, to satisfaction, to justice as we see it. The Scripture says vengeance belongs to who? We put them in God's hands. Do you understand? And we've already read, so He's going to deal with everyone. Hey man, it's pay me now, pay me later. He's going to deal with the whole world. Every person that's ever lived on this planet. We may worry about someone getting away with something. This is not our worry. This is not our purview. This is not our field, and we cannot plow it. The power to forgive comes from the Lord, and His justice and the application of it belongs to Him. Number six, forgiveness also means painful memories come to the surface. Ephesians 1:7 says this, He is so rich in kindness that He purchased our freedom through the blood of His Son, and our sins are forgiven. Matthew 27:46 says, At about 3:00, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus died for us on that cross, on that day, in our place. He died alone. He took all the world's sin, past, present, and future, upon Himself. He had on Himself all the painful memories of every heinous thing that has ever been done. Every sin that has been committed against you, He carried on that cross. At that very moment, the Scripture records that the Father turned His back on Him. The pain came to the surface as He cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. The pain there. The Father turning His back on sin as Jesus took upon Himself the sin of the whole world. There the acted out drama, what it looks like and what the pain looks like. You see, we should have gotten a premonition. We should have gotten something ahead of time when we saw Him in the garden as He was praying. What was happening with His sweat? Drops of blood as the agony. You can say, Jesus gets it. You may not be able to explain the depth of how you feel about anything that's happened to you in your life, things that have gone on. You may think there's no one in the earth that can hear me. But I want you to know that the very Spirit of Jesus is here right now. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Christ Himself is here right now. And He understands. He's not a God who is removed. The Scripture says He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He has been there. He knows what it feels like. He knows what the rejection feels like. He knows what the sin feels like. More power to His forgiveness that comes. So as we forgive others today, it must touch the core of our emotion. And when I say the word emotion, to use a verb that's an illegal verb, Rick, but the way we emote is different, isn't it? All of us have different emotional responses. So please, please, please do not race ahead and say, oh, they've not been touched by that because they weren't responding in this way. Sometimes just a grimace and a head down can be a powerful response. Because you see, it's not about what's on the outside. Statement was, it's touching the core of the inside when that forgiveness comes. There's no pre-programmed response, but that pain must come to the surface. And that way we can choose to forgive, not in ignorance, not in stuffing down and acting like it didn't happen, acting like, oh, those things didn't hurt me, just like that old thing we were taught when we were kids, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but that's a lie. And anybody that tells you words don't hurt them is lying. They do hurt. They do her. So we choose to forgive with the full effect of how the pain feels. And it gives us the great depth and appreciation of our forgiveness of others. And then knowing that what have we just done with that person? We've forgiven them by the power of Jesus in our lives. Because we have been forgiven. And he said, you know, even as you have been forgiven, you go and forgive others. But then what do we do with that person? We have handed them off to God himself. Finally, you cannot wait until you feel like forgiving. Matthew 6:12 says this, "And forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us." Where's that come from? Is that familiar to you? Lord's Prayer. Lord's Model Prayer. Luke 17:4 says this, "Even if he wrongs you seven times a day, and each time turns again and asks forgiveness, what does he say? Forgive him." If you wait till you feel like forgiving, or if the person that you are forgiving deserves that forgiveness, it will never happen. It's not about how you feel today. Do you hear me? Not about how you feel. Because feelings change with the wind, don't they? Feelings are always a result on that fiction is a good word, because sometimes feelings are fictitious. You validate, yet they're real, feeling real to you, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily based on that which is true. Feelings can change. We're dealing with facts. It's not about feeling a certain way. It's about a choice that you get. This is about your sanctification. This is about the working out of your salvation. This is about you living it out. This is about you being free. Man, just think what your life could be if you get rid of that ball and chain of bitterness and unforgiveness that has held you down in your life. Once you choose to forgive, Satan immediately loses his power to accuse you in that arena of your life. Don't you like it when Satan gets his? Huh? Don't you like that? When he gets cut off?
When he no longer can abuse somebody and yank their chain. Man, I love it when you cut that chain and you have no chain to pull.
Then the healing of God can begin with great effectiveness and a brand new freedom. Second Corinthians 3:17 says this. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Who do you need to forgive today? We don't count how many people come to the altar. We don't measure effectiveness by how many tears are shed or by the measure of emotion. We put all that in God's hand. So today, I'm asking you, do business with Him. Who do you need to forgive? If you want to come at the altar and be here today, I'm just going to ask pastors, Brother Rick, Brother Dane, if they'll come and be here. If you want us to be a part of that, but the altar's open to you today. But this whole building is an altar today. Where you sit is an altar. Don't let how you genuflect. That's a fancy word for your motions, your body motions. Don't let that keep you from doing business with God today. Okay? Do you understand this? Does it make sense? Essentially, all I've done today is just read the Scripture. Let's pray. And now, Lord, we give you the time, we give you this ministry time. Lord, I'm asking you right now for your protection to be around this building right now. As we do business with you. Thank you. Thank you. The altar's open. We'd like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, there's a basket in the back, and baskets up front here. You can come at this time and bring that if you will. Look this way, if you will. Anybody the Lord speak to you today? Anybody? Okay, I just want to make sure, because I had three sermons prepared for today. and this is the one the Lord told me to preach today. Now, one other thing I want to say to you. Continue to listen to the Lord. Because the Lord may want you to say something to one of those people. Now, share this one other thing to you. So, well, what if they're dead? Now, I'm not saying necessarily that you need to go speak to a person. Maybe not. You put that before the Lord. Put that before the Lord. A lot of other issues that go along with it. But for someone that's dead, it may be helpful to just go out to the cemetery where they're buried and have prayer time out there. No, their spirit is not there. But it may help you. That may be something that'll be therapeutic spiritually for you. A lot of other things you can do. But listen to the Lord. Keep the main thing, and that's forgiveness. Now, since you cut off all those chains today and all those weights, be careful when you walk out. Well, the building's already risen probably about 3 or 4 feet, and so the step down out there is going to be a killer. Unless you just fly to your car. Okay? Man, y'all got it. Come on. Yeah, let's get with it. I send you out in the name of Jesus. Bye.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set a blaze with hope, like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are the church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. We refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. Unwake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength. We are your church.